My brother knows the pericopes.
That's the coach's last
name. Ah. He took notes. We want to look at Matthew chapter 10. We'll look at the whole chapter tonight, but before we do, we'll just read a few verses here, give you a little taste of some things. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and a slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives
I'm going to go to the house. And I'm going to go to the house. look at Glenn, I look at Glenn, I look at Glenn, I look at Glenn, somebody says, Glenn, somebody says, John, I want to, John, 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 John,
I don't know. Everest.
I said it. I've got to stick.
Amazingly, with all the persecution that goes on, the net result is it makes you more and more fearless. You know, the best servants of God I know are the people who have really been through tough times. There's a brother, a dear brother of mine, there's a great friend, he's a Chinese man, and he goes over to mainland China, and he's almost been caught about four times over there. And you know something? He's more fearless than any other man I know. You know why he's fearless? Because he's staying in the pocket. He's gone to meetings, and just before he gets to the meeting, somebody comes by on a bike and says, "Don't go, don't go." And he hesitates, and then the cops go and jump into that house just a minute later. And he was going to hold a secret meeting in there. But you know what? If he's in the pocket, he's fearless. Now, you know that. You remember, these people who go behind the Iron Curtain and all that stuff when that was going on, they were fearless when they're in the pocket. Yeah, rascal. And you're doing this, and you did this, and we saw you did this, and you did this to this woman, and all kinds of things that aren't true at all. And you know what you do? Stay in the pocket. Because everything that's secret's going to be revealed. Jesus says, the light, he exposes the truth. You don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of false accusations. If it's true, you be afraid. Because you've been caught. But if it's not true, you stay right in the pocket, and God's going to reveal everything that's hidden. All the hidden motives and the hidden reasons people are getting after you, it'll all be exposed. You don't have to be afraid. Verse 28, therefore don't be afraid of those who kill the body. And then verse 31.
So do not fear. You're more valuable than sparrows. Oh, this is wonderful when you're in the pockets. You know what happens when you're in the pocket? The most wonderful verse in this whole chapter to me is that verse 25. I don't know what this means, but listen. It's enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher. It's enough. That is. Do you know that you're conformed to his image when you join with him in the fellowship of his sufferings? When you identify with his name and you identify with him, you join in and conform into him and you become
That's not biblical. Then the Bible says the servant gets rewarded. Now, here's the main reward. We all read it in verse 25, but I'm bringing it back to you because it's my favorite scripture. Now, it says it's enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher. Now, how about that for a reward? You know, service is rewarded
Because not only do you identify with the Lord, but you know something? He identifies with you. I don't understand this. How the Lord could identify with us. Because in Hebrews, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. He identifies with his servants. Now let's look at this. The thing here, I'm just going to make it kind of simple. We've got the verse 40, 41, 42, and that's basically it. Listen to this. He who receives you receives me. Now is that something mutual there? Identification wise, he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives the prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. And he who receives the righteous man in the name of the righteous man will receive the righteous man's reward. Now these are talking about simple folks who are receiving folks. And they have a reward. But the servant also has a reward. What is this talking about? Here we go. You are rewarded, and here's your reward. It's an amazing gift of grace. You are rewarded when somebody sees Jesus in you. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What does that mean? Somebody hears Jesus speaking through you. You know what happens? That person gets a reward because he's recognized Jesus. You get a reward because he saw Jesus in you. He who receives the righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. What does that mean? Somebody sees the righteousness of Jesus in you. And they're rewarded for that. And you're rewarded for that. That they saw Jesus in you. It's amazing. It's worth $1 million. Somebody says, I saw Jesus in you. You want $1 million of that? Is that your final answer? Verse 42. It goes one step further, this matter of reward. It's so simple. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And what is this? You are rewarded when somebody else begins serving Jesus or serving others because they saw Jesus in you. This is like grandpa's reward. You start to see somebody else serving the Lord, and it's because they saw Jesus in you. Now, brothers, these rewards stand the test of time. So let's just summarize for a second. Jesus is the way of ministry. Through all three stages. Through the initial stage, he puts us under his authority to teach us you have to depend on me for that life to come out. If you depend on me, I'll supply all you need. I'll show you the way to go. I'll restrict the places you go. I'll restrict the things to what I feel given you. But if you allow me to do this, then I will send my life through you. And you will learn how to be a servant of mine. And then when you go through the times of trouble and everything, he says, now remain identified with me. If they're getting after you, it's because they're getting after me. Now you just stay right in the pocket with me, and I'll show you myself in the fellowship of sufferings. And I'll teach you what to say at the moment that you need to say it. And I'll reveal the things from people who have hidden motives. You don't have to say a thing. I'll take care of the whole thing. Just stay right here in the pocket and learn of me. Confess in him before man. Just keep, stay right there and keep confessing. And learn this lesson of identification. I am yours and you are mine. And you're my servant. And then third, the wonderful reward when others see Jesus in you. As you serve, you're not aware that Jesus is coming out of you often because you're aware of just so many things you're distracted with. But somebody sees Jesus in you. You know, I know that the preachers are always in a prominent position and everything, but you know, it is a precious thing when there's a brother who taught a Sunday school class and showed you Jesus when you were a kid. Just think about that reward. Who sang that song? Did James sing that song?
Yes,
thank you. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for just showing me Jesus when I was a kid and all that kind of stuff. It's so true. Brothers, don't ever think small of teaching Sunday school and doing such things. It's amazing what people see just in the incidental things you do. You know, I wasn't a Christian when I was a kid. Occasionally I went to a Sunday school because I had some friends, you know, we'd knock it around in these various places occasionally. And I'll never forget this one teacher.
He was an engineer. And I don't know what he would teach you. But, you know, we had class from about six boys. He'd always ask questions, and the answer was always God or Jesus. So it was very easy. I don't even remember what really he was teaching. But all I remember is at the end of any class, the last 10 minutes, he would stop the lesson, and he would pull some trinket from the airplane factory he worked out of his pocket and show us it and explain what it was. It was part of a rudder or part of a thing or part of an assembly unit. He always had some interesting little piece of trinket, which I know he had to think about when he was back at work and bring it there. And to me, this was such a wonderful thing. This guy was so human to do that. That's, you know, that small thing to you, doesn't it? I was so impressed with that guy. He always remembered to bring a little thing and show us just some interesting little tidbit from his job. In other words, he was saying to his kids, good job, well done, you all answered Jesus and God. Now let me show you my reward. Show me a little thing, you know. Stays in your mind. Let Jesus be seen in you. He is the way of ministry. Let's never get out of his life and think we can minister. Well, we all do. And we're all so sorry when we do. Because he is the way and the authority and the identification. It's in his name that demons go out and the healing comes and the gospel is preached. We need to learn those lessons. Every man in this room, be servants of the kingdom. Let's pray. I could just picture the anticipation of the disciples who wanted to get out the door and get ministering, and yet you told them all of this stuff. Good times, bad times, threats to their life, how they must have wondered, what are we getting into? But they went out in simple dependence, and you kept them, and you made them effectual. And we look to you and give you thanks for doing that, and making these apostles the very foundation of the church, you being the cornerstone. And Lord, we come to you as those who are just sinners saved by grace. Lord, there's nothing that we have of value except what you put into us by your own very presence and love. And yet because of the burden that you have for those who are lost around us, and even the lost sheep of the church, so you send us. Oh Lord, help us how to walk as Jesus walked, who did nothing except what he saw the Father doing, spoke nothing except what the Father was speaking, judged nothing except as the Father would judge. Oh Lord, you walk in this dependent submission to your Father's authority. And what we saw on this earth was a tremendous life, grace, truth, power coming through your life. So may it be in our lives. Though we feel under the burden, though we feel straitened, though we feel held by a commission that is restrictive in our lives, oh, bear the fruit that comes out of being under your wonderful life and authority among all the brothers here in this room. We thank you for whatever little restrictive place you've given us of ministry, and for those things you have freely given us that you want us to pass along to others. Oh Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We want to identify with you and say, that's my Jesus. He's the King. He sent me out. I minister in his name. Oh Lord, may people see Jesus in us. May people hear Jesus through us. May people see character and righteousness in us. And when they do, we have the privilege of just turning it all back to you and say, Lord, it's by your grace, by your mercy, that we're allowed this wonderful, rewarding, privileged life. Oh, Lord, keep us in the pocket. Now we pray especially for brothers who are in a place that we call professional ministry. Oh, Lord, we pray for them if they're out of the pocket. Oh, Lord, bring them back in. If they've moved beyond utter dependence upon you and are now looking to man's hand for provision and even compromising their soul for the sake of their profession, oh, bring them back to simple dependence, to speak your words and to speak those things you whisper to them in the night. Lord, give them messages that you've spoken that they might speak them on the housetops. We do pray for our dear brothers, some under a real gun of pressure on every side. Help them realize their valuation in Jesus Christ. Speak to them, Lord, in their soul that you've numbered everything that they've done and given it a value. Lord, we want to be faithful servants, but we know in the end we're unprofitable. We only do the things you ask us to do. We don't have the wisdom to know what to do beyond that would be in your life. And still you receive us, and you identify with us, and you even sometimes say, good job, well done, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Give us this place of service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.